All right. Oh, there's headphones down there on a hook also.
Oh, gotcha.
If you want to, if you want to use them, it'll probably be better for the sound.
There we go.
Because you'll know when you're not close to the mic, you know? All right. We're recording on all fronts. Let me make sure this is fucking actually working correctly. Can you talk?
I can talk. I can talk quite a bit. I can keep talking if you want me to.
All right. I think that's enough talking. Okay. Todd Royce. You've made it. This could all have been yours. We were talking about this.
I mean,
it could have all been yours.
This was enough to stay home or stay here from Vegas. This is,
yeah.
This is a really cool studio. I'm really impressed.
It's way more than someone needs for a home studio.
I don't know. I mean, because you're like a podcast guy. Like, I enjoy your podcasts, and I think that you could, you'll grow.
I paid him to say that.
Yeah. No, I think that you'll grow and you'll eventually get a fan.
We were just talking about that I lost a fan. I don't think I've shown this. This hasn't really been on camera much because we just got the center angle figured out. But I'm gonna put it up to this one. This is a. Oh yeah, it was one and two of four. Look, Taylor Bonzer on the back, friend of the podcast, Taylor Bonzer.
Yeah,
looking pretty Bonzerish. Pretty good Bonzer.
It's a great Bonzer, but I have to say, I think your face was just made for pop. Anyway, because it's such
big,
a flat. Yeah, it's a fat, flat face.
He even got to have a fucking mole here.
I saw
that. And he got the mole. And then now he doesn't like me anymore. Or he's going to see this podcast and realize that I texted him recently. So maybe.
Or he didn't like you at the time, and that's why he made sure that the mole was. That's like the opposite of what they did to my grandma when she died.
They cut her mole off?
They did. They had she had a huge mole. Not a huge mole. I'm not saying that. But she had a mole on the side of her face. And I remember when my mom and I went to go see her in the casket, it was very sitcom-y because we're both looking at her, both had tears in our eyes, and then at the exact same time we had the exact same thought that, wait, was it on the other side? So we both just like leaned over the casket at the exact same time to see if, and no, they just lopped it off.
That's wild.
They were like, we don't like that.
Yeah, they made an editorial decision on how good your grandma should look. That's strange.
What is this stuff? Montucky?
Montucky Cold Snacks.
Is it a lager?
It's a light lager, yeah. It's right in your wheelhouse of.
I prefer light drink. Oh, that is good. Okay, cool.
They're cheap.
I'm not sure what this is for, but.
Yeah, like, let's not pretend like that won't make it into your fucking stomach at some point.
I'm not saying it won't.
I was giving you the choice. We have a San Juan Huckleberry Seltzer and a Montucky Cold Snack, and you picked somehow the manlier of those two options.
That is insane. That's because I'm very girly when it comes to any sort of.
Yeah, you do drink like whiskey ginger ale was like a big fucking step forward in. Like, you grew pubic hair in order to whiskey ginger ale.
That's right. You talked me into that. You did.
Okay.
You talked me into a lot of things. You talked me into that.
A lot of things. You talked
me into Vegas.
Yeah, I'm really bad about fucking talking to people about where they should move.
Yeah, well, because you mentioned it, and I'd always wanted to move to Vegas.
Yeah.
But my wife had just gotten a promotion, and I remember saying that, like, God, that would be great, but she just got this promotion, and you're like, she can't do the job there? And I was like, she can do the job. I went home, and I was like, hey, Rage, Casey and I were talking about
Casey and I were doing some life planning. God, I'm the one that fucked up this. You being part of this podcast, Jesus.
This could have been
us. And now we're just fucking. Now you just are struggling to get up my stairs. That was probably rude to bring up, but we didn't need to say that.
Nobody saw it.
It wasn't really the cardio thing as much as the. I have these two fucking baby gates. And I struggle to get through them sometimes also.
Yeah,
let's
pretend that's true. It's very fun. It's a baby and Todd gate. Yeah. My sister put in a doggy door into her sliding glass door. And it didn't leave enough room. And I've tried to get in her backyard and almost got Winnie the Pooh style stuck.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty good. When that happens at family, during family time, that's fun.
What's the most embarrassing, and I'm going to try to think of one for myself, but what's the most embarrassing, like, size-related thing that's happened to you? You're a big guy. We can acknowledge that, right, without being too mean. I don't want to be too mean, because...
Yeah, I don't know if anybody can tell on here or not, but...
Well, yeah, I mean, I zoomed it out a little bit, so...
This is the wide angle. I'll tell you the most embarrassing one, I think, was... my father-in-law, where my in-laws live, they live out on the lake, and they have a golf cart.
Todd comes from money.
Well, no, I don't.
Todd's
wife
comes
from
money.
I'm married into money. And then I took her money away, so.
Attaboy.
They have a golf cart, and they live, like, at the bottom of this hill. And her dad and I were gonna like head down to the lake for something.
Oh, no.
So we get in the golf cart, and he starts going up the hill, and it can only make it about halfway up, and it starts kind of sliding back. And I used to tell this joke on stage, and I'd say, "Have you ever heard a golf cart rev?" Like that's pretty much what happened. But then he just goes, he's so nice, and he's like, I guess the batteries aren't fully charged. That must be it.
Yeah, that's got to be it. That's got to be it. It just slowly loses power gradually. Just,
right, right.
Oh, man. I don't think I have one. I mean, I've just...
Oh, good. Thanks. That was a nice setup. That's great.
I mean, I've had a lot of the things where you're like, you have a shirt on and you feel good, and then you're like, oh, fuck, my belly's hanging out of the bottom of that, you know?
I have found recently, I have this purple shirt that I used to... I really like the color of it. I like myself in purple. And
you feel like Grimace?
Grimace, Barney, I get them all.
Yeah, that's good.
But I wore it, I wear it, and then like I watch myself on stage in it, and I realize there's just something about that shirt that makes my entire body look like just clumps of mashed potatoes, like even more so than anything else.
Yeah.
And I wore it when I did Kill Tony a couple weeks ago, and I just watched myself going, what the fuck is going on with that body?
That's oh, man, I disgusting. Wish I had my computer hooked up and we could watch it together.
Though. Yeah. Oof. Brutal.
So you were a Tacoma comic. You moved to Las Vegas. I apparently was instrumental in it. You know what it is you and our friend Kevin Eggleston moved at my to the apparently the place that I suggested, because I'm like, we got to get the fat ginger beards out of here. That's my territory. So
he's not even fat anymore. Dude. I mean, he is, but like I just saw him a couple weeks ago in Vegas, but he's lost like 115 pounds.
I know he got a surgery, right?
Yeah.
So that's
yeah.
like, it, I mean, because it wasn't that long ago. It was like the end of the year or something like that.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. It's only been, I think he said it's been 4 months, but 115 pounds. Awesome. He's looking great. Like, he's looking.
That's awesome. Bobby Kelly, not friend of the podcast, but true. A guy that I've worked with in the past, he got a similar surgery, and you look at him and you're like, oh, fuck. He's like, looks great, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not having that experience right now. There hasn't been a Todd Royce transformation.
Well, I've lost 10 pounds.
That's good. What's your joke? Don't you have a joke that's like, I gained it all back plus some or something like that? Do you have a joke like that?
Not really.
Okay, never mind.
Okay. In my bio, it used to say that I lost like
that's
20 pounds
is, yeah.
over the pandemic.
Did I tell you to take that out?
I don't think you did, but I did. You might have. I do everything you say, so it's not there anymore. So
you do kind of. There was a brief stretch where you did. Now you just don't call me because you don't want instructions anymore.
I feel I'm like, I can handle my own life, thank you.
Well, there's also a thing that's going on, because when you and I became friends, you were like not a very accomplished comedian. And now you're doing like fucking rooms that I won't respond to my emails. So you don't really need my advice on that much.
Yeah, that's true. well, I feel like you've already won with the Vegas thing. So there's, I mean, what else can you tell me to do?
Well, I mean, fucking book me to open for you more often, I guess, is the...
I would love to, anytime
you... But that was the other thing, too, is I thought when we did this podcast, I'm like, by the time we do this podcast, we're going to be sick of each other. We'll have fucking spent, we're going to have all these this time together. And then the first show we were going to do got canceled. The second show is, you know, supposedly going to happen. We'll see. And then the third show, I'm not doing anymore because... Of our, listen, Todd doesn't believe in climate change, folks,
sure,
and I do,
yeah.
And we just can't get over that.
It's just, it's so cold, but they call it global warming. It doesn't make any sense. Then why?
The great scientist Donald Trump already made that point, so.
No, but I was just going to say one thing, I'll say it here, because like, I'll say it in public where a lot of people won't hear it.
Yeah.
If
you want to keep something a secret, say it on this podcast.
No, I decided a couple of days ago, because another friend, he hasn't said it publicly, but another mutual friend of ours is doing the sleeve. And I don't know if he said it publicly, so I won't say who it is.
Okay, can I know after?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll tell anybody. But, so I started thinking about it. I was like, maybe I should get the surgery. Because, you know, and then I was like, I've never wanted to do it. So what I've done basically is I've given myself 1 year. And if 1 year I feel healthy and I'm losing weight, then cool. And if not, then I have to do it. Because I'm getting too old to be carrying around this much weight.
I know. Todd is a 63-year-old man. And Las Vegas is the place that everyone goes to get healthy. That makes
a
lot of sense.
Absolutely true.
Just the place with like all of the chain fast food restaurants. All of the best chefs have fucking restaurants there.
It's amazing food, drinks anytime you want them.
A lot of outdoor stuff because it's the temperature's always great. It's never too hot to be outside.
It's never too cold. Dude, it's gotten so cold this winter. Nobody ever talks about how cold it gets in Vegas, but it's freezing cold.
It gets to like 50 degrees.
it's gotten to the point where I can't wait until it gets to 110 again. Now, I'm sure.
Does it actually get below 32?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Really interesting.
Yeah. And then it's super, super cold.
All right.
By the time I get back, it'll be in the 70s.
That's just at night, I assume, right? Because it's a desert?
Usually at night, but I did notice, like, a couple of days before we left, there was a day where it was, like, it had to be, like, 35.
Mm. That's, wow, I feel so bad for you.
It's a rough life.
Where do you live in Vegas?
Just off, not too far from the Strip. There's this new apartment.
Is that, like, the kind of, like, the gradient where it's, like, the most expensive on the Strip, and then it's...
So it's difficult to find anywhere to live on the Strip. There are a couple of places that have some apartments in the resorts. So yeah, that would be extremely expensive. And then like for the most part, the outer layer of the Strip is not really where you would want to live because it's pretty ghetto in that area. But we found a place.
Describe ghetto in a way that gets you canceled.
If you see a lot of people that are, but there's a. There's the outer light, but there's this one area that's it's just all businesses and all this sort of stuff, and then they built up a brand new apartment complex there. So it's a lot more expensive than it should be to live there, but you get a lot of amenities and you're really close to the Strip. And we didn't know how long we were going to live there, so we're like, let's live by the Strip, and then if we decide to live there longer, which we pretty much have, then we'll move to like Summerlin or something like that.
Is that Summerlin's a different city?
No,
it's,
like
a neighborhood.
It's a neighborhood, basically, yeah. It's kind of its own little... I guess it's its own little town, but it's just outside of Vegas.
So I've spent in my life, I think, 72 hours, maybe? 48 or 72 hours in Vegas.
That's it?
Yeah. I mean, I've never been there for comedy. I've found ways to drink in a lot of places. I was gambling, you know, with people back before... I don't need to go to the casino. I mean, by the way, casinos, we have casinos here.
Yeah, yeah.
There's like none of the card games and stuff are really that enticing. Although like I suspect there's more poker rooms and stuff in Vegas than up here. But there's just like not, I don't like the cigarette smoke. By the way, when I used to smoke, I miss my calling. I would have loved being able to, smoking indoors is the greatest thing in the world.
I'm a huge cigar
smoking
guy.
Indoors.
Right.
Being around other people smoking indoors, the
horrific.
Worst thing in the world, yes.
Terrible. I'm a big cigar guy, and I love the amount of places where you can go and just enjoy a cigar in Vegas is amazing. Dirty at 12:30 if you're ever in Vegas at the
Fucking invite
Point.
Me.
It's a great, it's an amazing show. It's a great room, and you can just sit back and smoke a cigar and watch some really good comedy.
I'm not fucking promoting other people's shows on here. What are we doing?
Well, because I got booked for them once, and I'm hoping to get booked again. So I'm mentioning them whenever possible.
If the large Vegas-based audience that listens to this podcast is there, I'm actually the co-host of my Poor Sports podcast, which you might have seen on the other people that occupy this
studio. I saw a clip as I was scrolling.
As you were reintroducing yourself to me as a person. Right. Haven't thought about me in months, and then, yeah.
Who was this Casey McClan guy?
Did you say Casey McClown? Oh, that's pretty good. That wasn't bad. This guy should do comedy.
Hey.
This guy is good. He's in Vegas right now, though. Alex Aquita is in Vegas.
Oh, is he?
For the Pac-12 tournament. So.
Oh, right on.
So go, this isn't coming out in time, but go see Dirty at 12:30. What have you noticed that's, I mean, it's got to be just infinitely different, I have to imagine, because it's like, tell me what's different. Let me not answer the question. No, I don't want to lead the witness.
There's multiple different levels of comedy in Vegas.
No, so, I don't give a fuck about the comedy in Vegas. We'll talk about that later. But like, you lived by the Fred Meyer on 19th and Stevens here.
Oh, you're asking me what the difference is between Tacoma and Las Vegas?
Yeah, I'm like, what have you like? What do you miss, if anything? And what do you like? Is there like I got to imagine that just like going to a grocery store is different because everyone's a fucking degenerate.
Yeah, the grocery store. So what I do now with the grocery stores is in Vegas is I'll actually order the food online or order the groceries online, mostly food online. And
well, I mean that's not shameful to give
no,
food.
I know.
And it's so funny though. Like you feel oh man, that is a thing I. Have you experienced the shame of eating in public?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, okay.
I always knew, like...
I didn't know if you had experienced it.
Yeah.
It seems like it's not having any effect.
Back in elementary school, a kid in school ran into me at a restaurant. I think it was like a Mitzel's restaurant.
Ooh, Mitzels. Those are gone, right?
Those are
my grandma used to love Mitzels because I think every Mitzels was like one block off of the freeway.
Yeah. And my grandma was in love with Mitzels, and she would take us there once a week. And this guy was like, the next day in school, was like, saw Todd last night. Of course he was eating. And it's like, yeah, motherfucker, it was dinner. Like, what do you want? But ever since then, like, it's been stuck in my head. And I see people out, and I'm like, I'm not even eating. And
yeah, I used to work with this dude. Really great guy. Won't listen to this. Not going to say his name. But he was, when I started working with him, he was like 400 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And he now actually, he got a gastric surgery of some kind. And now he's looks great. He's down. By the way, I mean, I think that's what this just all going towards.
I think this is...
Get the sleeve, Todd, but...
next month I have the... I'm posting all about my...
Next month you're fucking 190 pounds. And, but he... Nobody would ever see him eat. He never ate, like... You'd be like, oh, he's 400 pounds. We know he's eating at some point. It's happening. But all you would never see him eat. We'd work a 12-hour shift. He was doing intermittent fasting, like, the opposite way, where he would just, like, apparently go home... And or when he got like left for work, would just eat a ton. And I'm sure he wasn't eating healthy or whatever, but it was like, it sucked because you're like, dude, we could be like, food is such a part of like community, right?
Right, right.
And I'm friends with, he was like invited to my wedding. Like we are friends, but you're like, we could enjoy so much more stuff instead of just like, my biggest memory of him is we went to one night, we went out late drinking with his buddies and he like offered me a little bit of cocaine, and I'm like, our community thing is, I didn't do it, by the way, but I'm like, our thing is me turning down cocaine from you, like, we can't fucking have, we never even had a meal together, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, also, and I will say this, and I can sadly say this out of experience, is when you're over 400 pounds, honestly, eating isn't that enjoyable. Like, I think that there's this idea that you see someone like me, and you think of, like, a cartoon king who's sitting there with, like, two chicken legs, and he's
those
eating...
Those are turkey legs.
Turkey leg chicken legs. Yeah, I guess it wouldn't be chicken legs. But that's not the case. It's like you... I don't know. It's just not... It's not fun.
Well, you're
it's
vegan,
not fun
right?
anymore. I'm pescatarian. And basically...
Well, I understand. You used to be vegan, but now you've gone to the seafood capital of the world, the desert of Las Vegas. You used to live, like, miles away, a couple miles away from saltwater, but now that you live in seafood Mecca... I do think they have, like, they get shit, like, flown out there, but still, come on.
No, I was always pescatarian. I'm very close to being plant-based, especially... All right. Especially now in Vegas, because Vegas has so many vegan restaurants.
Sure.
My favorite Chinese restaurant I've ever been to now is in Vegas. It's a vegan restaurant. And
the whole restaurant's vegan?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah, I guess the thing about Vegas that's cool is I guess you have to have everything, right?
They have everything. And then there's like places like the Wynn where Steve Wynn was vegan.
Do you think they named the hotel after that?
I don't know. I'm not. I think maybe.
Is it spelled the same?
No.
Oh, that's...
Yeah, no, it's spelled the same as his last name, yeah.
Oh, wow, confused. That's...
It's probably...
It probably named is named after him.
Yeah, but then his other one's called Encore, so unless that's his middle name.
It must be his middle name, yeah.
Steve Encore Wynn.
Maybe he's one of those guys that uses his middle name as a first name, so he's Encore Steve Wynn, maybe.
So Steve, he's a vegan, and... so he has a contract with every restaurant that's ever been a part of Wynn or Encore that they have to have a specific vegan menu.
Gotcha.
In order to be a part of that. So
that's interesting. How is your wife like? Because she's like fully vegan.
She's fully
vegan.
She's
actually good. You're a fake virtuous person.
That's
and
why
she's
I call
virtuous.
Myself a pescatarian because I eat fish, sometimes chicken and beef. But like no, but because like I'm not gonna turn down cheese.
Oh yeah. Although I have had that like. It's called like ghee or something like that. That cheese isn't bad. I mean, I got to imagine it's worse for you health wise than anytime something tastes good and it's vegan. I assume it's actually worse.
That's my well. I mean, again, look, I've been mostly plant based for 8 years. It's not. Yeah. It's probably not the healthiest lifestyle unless you're doing hardcore.
Like wheat is a plant, right? Like like things that make simple carbs are usually plants.
Right.
Like sugar cane is a plant.
Sure. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, it is funny that we have another mutual friend, Ethan HD, the pro wrestler.
Yep.
Who he's like a plant-based guy.
He's a shitty vegan person cuz he will eat only vegan and be in really good shape.
Oh yeah, that's the worst.
Yeah, I think it's fun when you see an obese person who's like, "I'm vegan."
Yeah.
And that's cute. But like, you see some guy who's like in really good shape. You
know. I know. Fuck that guy. I'm sick of him.
Yeah, he's the worst.
Thank you for talking through that drink that I just took. It's nice to have a nice, completely dead spot to know. This podcast would have worked out great.
Yeah, I think it's good.
When we did talk a lot, because now you don't talk to me anymore.
What's the hat? It's just the region?
It's from a gift shop, dude.
Okay.
I just like it.
All right.
I'm not allowed to like it?
No, you're fine.
You got a fucking golf shirt on. You haven't held the golf club ever. Like, what the fuck, dude?
Dude, I've held the golf club at Top Golf in Vegas.
Shoved it up your asshole or what?
I did try to shove it up my asshole. It was weird because my father-in-law was there.
Did he help? Is that why it was weird?
Well, here's what happened. We were at Top Golf.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, the easiest part of golf is the swing.
What did you think the other parts were?
Well, I'm saying I have no idea. I couldn't swing. I don't know if it's because of my size. I don't know why. I couldn't swing the club properly.
What was the last organized sport that you played?
Well, real quick, it eventually got to the point where he had to come around and like help me.
Oh, he had to do like the first date.
That's right.
You were playing pool. Wow.
Yeah. The last organized. You know what? Did you ever have that in school where you were on like the. It was like a square block of wood, and then there was wheels under it, and you like crab walked and kicked the ball.
Field day?
We didn't call it field day. It was like a regular thing that we did in gym class.
Interesting. It's like soccer, but you're laying on your back?
Yeah, kind of. And then constantly everyone's just wheeling over.
Was everyone else laying on their back, or was it just you?
I think it was just me. It was like me and the kid in the wheelchair.
No, I don't know. I don't know that game. So this is, we're going back into like elementary school.
Yeah, I don't think, I haven't played a lot of organized sports over the years.
How many times did people ask you if you play football?
A lot. When I was younger, yeah. A lot, yeah. Yeah, and I don't know anything about football, but they were always like, you'd be a perfect, you know, linebacker.
Not that.
No?
Maybe lineman?
Lineman. I guess I just thought they were the same
defensive
thing.
Or offensive lineman, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people thought that I'd be good at that.
Interesting.
But I think you have to run.
Probably. Well, I mean, they run the least of anybody on the field, probably, but so that in that way it would be good for you.
I was always pretty good at basketball.
Oh, yeah?
As far as, like, elementary school and Whidbey Island is concerned.
Were you tall?
No, I'm not tall.
Well, you didn't come out of the womb at this height. Like, where you seem like a guy.
I didn't get shorter.
Are you tall? Right. Well, how tall are you right now? Are you 6 feet?
5'10". I thought you were looking for a measuring tape.
I'm looking at my phone to see if I can call a more interesting guest. No, I was trying to make sure. I'm trying to figure out for sure if I'm. My wife. I have it like my wife is gonna text me. I hope to find out if I can drink on this podcast because Todd's over here getting drunk. I don't want to pick my daughter up. Todd's hammered right now.
I mean, gone.
He showed up hammered. Yeah, she has not texted me. Come on, lady. Come on, lady. Because I don't want. I hate going to the. I've gone to my daughter's daycare.
Lady McLean.
Yeah, I've gone there. Like having drank before, but I feel guilty every time. I don't feel guilty drinking a little bit and then driving my daughter anyplace. But I don't want them. These are people who like have the power to be like, there's a problem at that house.
Right, right.
And so I don't really want to show up having drank. When we used to have to wear masks, it wasn't as big of a problem. But now.
Sure. You can hide your alcoholism then.
Exactly.
For sure.
That's what I'm saying. They were covering their nose. I was covering my mouth.
You could be a terrible parent without them.
Yes, I could be a degenerate and nobody knew. I got away with it for years. And now the world has returned to normal,
yeah.
And I've found the downside.
And everyone's ready to point out the shitty parents. And
yeah, I'm the only one that started drinking more in the fucking pandemic, Todd. I'm the only one. Actually, I drank probably. I will say this. At the beginning, I was fucking doing it. Like, we were like, we don't have to wait. Because especially when I was laid off. I was laid off for a month. It's like, I don't have to wake up for. I went from parenting a 0 to 6 month old and having to wake up early, get my wife to work, my daughter to daycare, go out and do comedy, come home late. And it's like, I can't fit drinking into that. And then it's like, there's no more comedy. There's no more work. The kid is older, starts sleeping. I was fucking
just get pounding. Sloshed.
Dude, yeah. I was like, I bet you I averaged in that time, the month I was laid off, which sounds like I was very depressed. I don't think being laid off was very depressing. It was the no comedy.
Sure.
No interaction with other people besides my family or whatever. I was probably averaging like 7 or 8 drinks a night.
Yeah.
Is my guess.
Well, and that's the thing. You think that our friendship kind of came to an end as I was getting sick and tired of drunk Casey. I was getting tired of your drinking.
You never saw a drunk. Don't fucking try to make this into an intervention. You are a fucking filthy alcoholic. And how much? That's actually a question. How much drinking do you do in Vegas?
I really don't do a lot of drinking. I've never been. It's so weird. I've always been able to control any type of vices, whether it's.
Well, I think you're right of one vice.
I'm saying there's the one thing, which is, you know, obvious.
All right.
Ah, you got a little gimmick there. I like it.
Yeah. That's supposed to be for when I make my podcast co-host uncomfortable. You're not a co-host.
Sure.
I don't know if I've pointed that out yet. But...
I feel like that's pretty... What are the dates for? What is that?
Oh, this is not dates. This is a game we're playing on the other podcast.
What calendar do I
it's
think
a,
has
it's
the
It's the final... Mayan calendar. Now, this is... we're playing a game, and this is the ongoing score.
No. Ah.
Confusing for this podcast. Check out Poor Sports Podcast.
Check them out. Are we going to record Poor Sports after this? Just you and me?
No.
No?
No, you...
We can talk... We could talk about the...
You could be our honorary lineman.
There we go. So what were you... You were trying to say something earlier about how we don't talk anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just like, when we started talking, first off, there was no comedy.
Right.
And then you were very bad at it. And also, fair. By the way, I'm wearing a shirt from a brewery where you opened for me.
That's right. That was the one.
I didn't get this shirt that day. I got it. I actually went there again the next year. You'll never see that place again because you're too big of a star now. But
I would love to go back.
I know. You should hit them up. They don't do comedy anymore. I literally sent them a message. I'm like, hey, I've done comedy. I see you're not doing comedy. Would you do it this one night that I have available? Because I was going to – it was like in between gigs and they had a night. So it was like good. I didn't have to
– Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah. Anyways, though, I remember that. That was also – I went to Leavenworth. You went to Leavenworth. And I severely sprained my ankle. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that.
I was on that show that we did. I was on stage in a brace, a fucking ankle brace, because I was like, I couldn't put pressure on my ankle. I thought it was broken. When it happened, I was like, I'm doing the show with a fucking broken leg.
Yeah, I remember that because our wives were both there, and your wife asked mine if I had ever broken my ankle. And she was like, no, my husband's a real man. He would never, just walking, break his ankle. Did you?
I was moving pretty quick, which is that's not familiar
to
you.
Yeah, that's true.
I was lifting both feet up at the same time. That's got to be, I know, it's strange.
You were hopping?
No, it was just, I was skipping along.
I can imagine skipping through Leavenworth. That's a good, who opened for you the second time you were there?
Jess Everett, mutual friend Jess Everett. Fucking loser.
Great, I mean, fuck. Grow a mustache. I was supposed to do his show, or he invited me to do his show.
I know,
Sunday.
He invited me because I told him to, because I was booked for that show, and I didn't know the show we're doing on Saturday is a fucking 6 p.m. or whatever. Actually, it's at 8 p.m., but it's a long drive out there to Anacortes, Washington.
Yeah, yeah.
Where, I don't know if this will have come out or not by the time, but it's at an Eagles club that you're probably not a member of. And
it's an Elks
club.
Lodge.
Who gives a shit?
They do.
They probably do care
a
lot.
What
are they? How do they feel about the Jews at this place?
Not a fan.
Okay.
Yeah, Jews and Chinese. They're cool with blacks, which is nice.
Good.
No, I think they're... I think
those organizations, all of them, by the way, it's not just them, but they used to all be like...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like wild.
Yeah.
Any organizations that has been around since before like 1975 has a history where you're like, oh, we don't like to talk about that.
Right. No, but they're really cool, and it's always a fun show. Or it's always...
You said it's wild,
once,
right?
But yeah.
That'll be cool. Or I'll have a horror story about it. We'll put it in the intro if I have a horror story.
There's a very strong possibility that just halfway through my set, I might call you up and we can just fuck around on stage together.
This guy will not stop making me do work for him. I fucking do. Jesus, I fucking do my set. I do my job, and you got to call me up to fucking help you do your job?
It just
Jesus
depends on
Christ.
how bad things are going
my
for
you. My God. Did you do that with last year's opener?
No. No, I did not.
I hope he sees that facial expression. I like him, but he's sensitive enough to have will. He will care if he sees that.
Here's the thing. I like him, too. He's very funny. That's why I asked him to do it.
Yeah.
He obviously I'm not going to say who it is, but he wasn't prepared really for the idea that this isn't like a comedy show. It's just chaos with, you know, a bunch of Elks members.
It's funny because the Elks Club seems like the most boring place on earth.
Yeah.
But because it's all these people that all know each other drinking together, they're going to be insane.
Yeah.
And they are probably, like, genuinely more boring than like maybe the average comedy club audience member, but this environment, it's like doing a show in someone's house.
Right.
Do a show literally in their clubhouse, basically.
Exactly. Definitely. And it's also like at a comedy club, someone starts spouting off, there's going to be someone there to tell them to shut the fuck up because that's the business. This is not the business. We're the strangers in this environment.
Did you do any of the outdoor shows in the pandemic?
No.
I did one in this. It was a 100-acre farm in Eatonville, Washington. And it was a place, like, literally, there was an old lady there who was like, this pandemic thing, they're really overblowing it. And I'm almost certain that lady's dead. Like, she was like, this was the first time I'd been around people without a mask on. It was like June or July. It was like, I think July. That's probably not completely accurate. But it was like, I remember going, feeling like, this is a risk. I'm taking a risk to go perform stand-up comedy. It felt stupid. I was like, is this a bad choice for my family?
Right.
You know what I mean? But I needed to because I was going to kill myself if I stayed at... Anyways.
Is this a bad choice for my family, for my daughter, for my young child?
Yes.
And then you were like, it is, and fuck it, I'm doing it.
I'm doing it anyway. But it's like outdoors, at a farm, yeah. You know. Like now I know that it was probably actually a pretty safe gig, but I'm...
Back then, who knew?
Yeah, we didn't know. And so I'm performing, and this guy keeps heckling, and I look over, and it's the lady who booked the show's boyfriend. And I'm like, I said out loud, I go, this is the fucked up thing about outdoor private show comedy is I can't kick out the homeowner.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. Like, what the fuck am I supposed to do here? And they all laughed at that. But it was like, I didn't get good enough footage, but I tried to do like a video of all the shows, like outdoor shows that I did in the pandemic. Because I think it would have been kind of cool to see, I did like shows in a cop's backyard and one time he like had me and it was really fun. And then he's like, I want you to come back for the next show. But I got to tell you, the next show is all my cop buddies. And if you have police material, please don't do it. And I was like, I don't even have any. So that's right. Fine. And then I ended up, I did reference the police during it. But honestly, it was the quickest. I was doing the joke, which is on Baby Weight EP. Where I talk about taking a sperm count test at home. And mm-hmm. I was like, I was jerking off into a cup. And I'm great at that. That's like, you know, whatever. And he goes, let me see your palms. And then I go, listen, I know who's at this party. And I'm not surprised someone's asking me to show me their hands. I didn't think it would be in this context or something
right.
that. And they like, you know, it's like all cops and their wives and maybe husbands. I don't know who all was a cop and who wasn't. But it was... all cops and their families,
right.
And it, like, crushed. It's awesome when you do something that for that environment is, like...
No, for sure. It's really good. Especially because, like, Casey's the C in ACAB, as we all know.
Yeah, all Casey's are bastards. Good one, Todd. Thanks. Good one, Todd. This guy.
Can we edit that one out?
Yeah. No, I'm going to put that on TikTok, actually.
Okay, good, good.
So, anyways, that was the we, I think, you... So I had multiple people attempt to inspire me to do TikTok, and I fucking hated it. And I don't think I was wrong necessarily, but a guy named Jesse Warren, who's a very funny comic, he was like, you got to do TikTok. By the way, like, it's funny because I don't even talk to Jesse Warren that much.
Yeah.
And he's made such an impact.
He's like, you got to do it.
He's like, it's the most democratic algorithm, and you got to do it. And then you went on it, and you were like, I remember when you were at like 25,000 followers. And you were like, I don't know what the holy fuck. I don't know. And then
that's a good impression.
Yeah.
Aaron! What's that?
I remember you were on a show with Corey Michaelis, like a Zoom show, and you were like, you were embarrassed to have more followers than him.
I remember that. Yeah, yeah.
And that was like when you maybe had like 40,000 or something.
That's
like
when that. I was humble.
I know, it's really gone to your head like, and your body.
I was like, all these fucking comedians are so much better than me, but now I'm just like, nah, fuck it.
Yeah, fuck them.
I'm Todd Royce.
Fuck them.
I don't remember what I was going to say. Fuck, that's...
Well, so, that's but you, stuff. Like, you were, you, I would say, had, like, a couple probably different, like, ascents where you went from 0 to 40,000 or whatever, and then... up to a couple hundred thousand and then up to, and I think maybe you're like, are you plateau-ish at?
I've been plateaued for a year, and yeah. I can't figure it out. And it is frustrating in a weird way because, like, I'll do lives now on YouTube, on Facebook, on YouTube, on the Strip in Las Vegas, and people legitimately come up to me during these lives, and they know who I am, and they recognize me, and they want, like...
That's cool.
So it is cool, but then you realize, like, if I'm getting recognized that often, I should have more... I really have more people who are aware of me than are following me. Which is
you've had 800,000 people come up to you on the Vegas Strip.
No, it's just I know it's a weird thing, but like I know people who have like 5 million followers and they never get recognized.
Sure. And then you're a little bit recognizable. I'm not even being a dickhead, but like you're like nobody. I'm trying to do a joke about this right now, but like every time this is like literally what I have written for the joke is every time a black person tells me who I look like, it's always Seth Rogen.
Yeah, I can see that.
But I don't really look like Seth Rogen. I just have a beard, a deep voice, and like. Look like I smoke a lot of weed. Basically. That's true. I don't like if you put me in Seth Rogen, we don't look related.
Right. You guys, yeah, there wouldn't be. I got you.
So I think like if you were like, I'm like in a category of very, there's a lot of me out there. Yeah. You know what I mean? And you're.
You got a little Jonah Hill too because of your height and unattractiveness.
I think I'm the same height as you if you're 5'10.
Okay.
I might be. I might not.
We wear it differently.
I didn't say weight. I did not say
it. No, I know.
I would say we could go back to back, but I think I'd have to lean back a little bit to get to your go back to like head to head. I might fucking be able to dunk on you, dude. That's the
I mean that's very possible, but that's not a big flex. No, I was I didn't know this until shortly before I moved from to Vegas. I did a show with Shad Foster. Mm-hmm. And apparently apparently, Shad had gone on to TikTok.
Oh, I know this.
You know this story?
Yeah, sorry. I don't want to stop it, though. Tell it.
So he went on TikTok. He got up to like 20,000 followers or whatever and was feeling really great about it. And then he came to an open mic that I was at. And at the time, I knew nothing about TikTok. I wasn't on TikTok. I just thought it was ridiculous.
Speaking of which, 3 hours ago, Shad Foster liked my TikTok video.
Oh, does that give you a little tingle?
God, my fucking penis rock hard. I'm gonna bring this up, but I was go ahead. Sorry, I'm gonna see how many he has right now.
Okay, so he goes. He was talking about it at this open mic, and I apparently called him a little girl. I was like, what are you doing on there? Are you a pedophile? Like, why are you even on TikTok?
Well, this is before you had TikTok.
This is before I was ever on TikTok.
Gotcha.
And so he said that week he decided he was like, no, he's right, and he just deleted TikTok. And then a couple of months later, I was at 25,000 or 30,000 or whatever. He's like, what the fuck? And like, I was starting to get booked off of it and stuff.
I think he had like 100 something, like over 100,000.
Oh, was it? I don't remember the number.
Well, I don't know what you said. What did you say? Oh, wait, do I have? Oh, I've got the fucking clearance from the wife. You want to drink some whiskey with me?
Yeah, let's do it.
Do you like whiskey?
I love whiskey.
All right. This is, oh, wait, let's drink something else because this is our Poor Sports bottle of Eagle Rare. But. Let's
check out Poor Sports. When does Poor Sports, when do you post Poor Sports? When do you do that?
it's Wednesdays. It's Wednesdays in the morning. I'm going to pour you a special bottle. It's not super expensive, but it's hard to find. Blanton's. Have you ever had Blanton's?
No.
Okay. It's a bourbon from the Buffalo Trace.
I like Buffalo
Distillery.
Trace.
We drank it on the first episode of Poor Sports. I'm now drinking it on the first time I've talked to Todd Royce in a year and a half since he became a star.
Are you going to be able to bring the studio with you whenever you come down to Vegas? Because we can do... Like, is this mobile at all?
Or? Yeah, I just pack it in the back of a truck and I'm driving to Vegas. So this is my favorite bourbon.
This looks good.
And I got the word from the wife that she's picking up my daughter. So cheers. You do cheers with bourbon? I rarely do. It smells like alcohol
God,
to me.
It smells really good. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
That's really good.
I actually have a bunch of good stuff back here that I need to crack into.
Fuck it. Let's just do it.
Let's do it. Let's get hammered. Fuck your show tonight. We'll just get drunk here. I actually don't like your show anyway.
So, I know you don't.
I would not feel bad about that at all. No, I. It's funny. Well, we could talk about that off the podcast.
Okay.
I don't need to make any more enemies in the comedy world.
Yeah, but you wouldn't. Would you really be making a new one? Because it's just the same one.
I don't need. Well, I don't need to reignite. Who knows? Here's the thing. I'm not mad about that guy anymore.
You were so pissed.
Oh, it's okay. So it's incredibly rare for me to, it's not rare for me to be mad. It's rare for me to let people know that I'm mad.
Yeah.
This guy, it was a show in Enumclaw. I was performing, I was opening for our friend Gabriel Rutledge at a theater right down the street from it.
Does Gabriel like me, by the way?
No, he's can't stand you. He will not fucking stop talking about
it. I have so many questions I want to ask him and stuff like that, but then I'm like, I don't want to like use this guy just because he is the best comic in this, you know.
And actively dislikes you, yeah. Yeah, no, I get it. Like,
that's my concern.
Does he fucking hate you. Every day he sends me a fucking screenshot of whatever you did online. I'm like, I haven't seen this. Todd and I haven't talked in years. And he's like, well, I want you to see this anyway. This guy that I actively dislike. We don't talk about you. I'm sorry to.
I was hoping that he was just at least sharing my content. Like that.
Yeah, it's the he's boosting the algorithm through hate sharing.
Okay, sorry. So back to.
So anyway, the audience probably doesn't know the story. Is I was opening for Gabriel Rutledge, this theater show, doing like 25, 30 minutes on the show. At the time, I probably have like 50 to 55 minutes of material. And the next week, I was supposed to close out a show at this brewery in Enumclaw. And it's like 30 minutes to close it. And I was like, well, this isn't a problem. I'll do completely different material. I'm trying to like work my material back up anyway. Because this is like just as the pandemic's letting out. It's like the earliest shows were allowed to do so. I'm just like, every bit of stage time is incredibly valuable. I don't want any. And anyway, I sent him a message like, you know, he's like, we still aren't, you know, everyone's confirming. And I'm like, yep, I'm good. Also, I'll promote it at this show I'm doing at the theater where I'm not headlining. And he's like, oh, that might be a problem. And I was like, why? And he's like, well, because it's a really small community, so they might not want to come see you again. And I'm like, well, okay, like, I'm going to do well on the show. There's a lot of reasons why this is bad thinking.
Right.
One, his theater or his fucking brewery holds 30 people or whatever. We had 85 or something at the theater. I'm going to do different material at both shows. And I would say that on stage. I'd be like, I'm doing a show at this fucking brewery right over here. This was the thing that bothered me the most, is he goes, there might be a problem, I'll check with the owner. And then he goes, the owner isn't comfortable with this. And I'm like, hold on. And I go, okay, fine. Fuck the owner then. I don't want to do anything with the owner. And then this is the stupidest thing he did. Because he goes, yeah, honestly, I kind of agree with the owner because blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, well, then fuck you. Then I'm not going to ever work with you then. Like, right. Fuck you. And I'll do everything I can to actively, like, now to me, this is the way that I work, is if somebody's booking me in a place, I'm not going to go try to fucking cut into their audience by booking myself there without talking to them first. But now, these places where he has shows are blank slates. They're blind spots. I don't see any fucking show there in my mind. Not that I'm going to go fucking, but I don't care anymore.
Right. Well, you were going to.
to actively book a show, like, on that same date to fucking.
Well, because the very next month was the night that I was going to do the show in Enumclaw at that place. And you were like, if I book a show that same night, will you just do my show instead?
Did I do that? That's fucking awesome. Wow, I wish we would have pulled that off.
Well, I'm not saying I would have done it, since he still runs shows and you don't.
Well, since you're literally doing a show for him after this podcast. That's right. And you never know what I will or won't run in the future, you know? That's the thing to me, and this is why it was a mistake for me to be an asshole about it. Because I've gained nothing from. And what I've been really good at in comedy is when someone pisses me off, I take the time to reflect and just respond in the way that is most beneficial to me.
You gave me that advice once. Sure. Well, it was post-tweet, but you were like, you shouldn't have tweeted that. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't.
There was a particular comic who posted, like, shortly after I released some t-shirts.
Oh, so after he became a star, yes.
Well, and she said, well, they
really
said...
You really narrowed it down, yeah. No, no, they... Oh, by the way, I'm so excited to talk about this off the podcast because I think I do remember now, and it's fucking wild the way the tables have turned on that. Wild.
She tweeted, she's like, I wish I had the confidence of a white comic who
white fat comic with a ginger beard and
who sells merch even though no one knows who the fuck they are or whatever. And I just tweeted back, like, I've never known anyone to play the race card as much as this white woman or whatever, something like that. And you were like, you were a dick for doing that. And I'm sitting there like, no, but she hurt my feelings.
Right. Well, first off, she is
good.
I think that you fucked up because there's nothing good that's coming from that
right.
for you. And that's ultimately my thing is like, I didn't, by the way, I haven't like gone on some public tirade about this. I mean, now we've kind of talked about the city and the, this is months later. Go see the shows. I'm not telling anyone to not go see the shows.
He's just saying go see his shows if he happens to run up against.
Yeah. And I'm going to fucking try to, I have like, I still, I think that place could, I think that area deserves better comedy. That it actually, they're doing a lot of shows at the theater now. I'll be there, actually, I'll be there fucking tomorrow at the theater.
Oh, really? Chalet?
I'm hosting at the Chalet Theater, yeah, for
that's
Caroline Ray.
Great. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
I've hosted there, I hosted there for John Caparulo recently. By the way, they like.
Vegas comic?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yep. He hates Vegas, but he.
Does he?
He does hate Vegas, but he also told me, he goes, I could find the negative side of anything, so don't take my. I was like, make me laugh. Yeah, anyway, that, but like that, again, it's like those shows, it's like 400 people. Imagine if you booked me to fucking headline a show. I could be like, hey, you know, I'm going to be down the fucking street in a week.
Right.
How fucking stupid. But also the other thing is, and it's not, and this is what where I fucked up, but also where he fucked up, is fuck the owner of that brewery. And I love breweries.
Right.
But I now have a bad thing to say about you.
Yeah.
And now you have a bad thing to say about me, which is my mistake. But you never know. I could be at fucking the Chalet Theater and his show's going on and we go, well, let's fucking sneak over and do a set over there. You know, I don't know what, you know, what the, there's like, you never know when the thing's going to happen. But when you're an asshole to any comic, you run the risk of it just not. Of it biting you in the ass.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's possible that I've done this in the past and it's bitten me in the ass. I actually know of specific situations where I made jokes about comics to their face and we all laughed, but I found out they were a lot more offended than they let on. And we'll talk about it off the podcast. But we're all in the same realm of people right now, by the way. But I found out and it's like, oh, that's why I can't get booked on that show.
Right.
And it's a show that, like, I by all means should. I don't need to fucking headline every show. I just want to do. I want to do sets in Tacoma as much as I can.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? I
especially now with my the new club that they're opening up.
Yeah, that's going to be really exciting.
That looks amazing. That's very cool. So, just with what you're saying about that, like in Spokane, they booked me at Spokane Comedy Club. I was booked to open for Joe Gatto, and then the next week I was doing my own show. And I didn't mention it on stage. I didn't think that, especially because I was hosting, I didn't really think that would be like, but people come up and talk to you after the show. And when they did that, I just let them know, like, hey, I'm headlining here. And we got so much return business off of that, just from people who had no idea who I was before the show. And they came back. So obviously.
Listen, if I'm headlining the theater, I think it would be silly to have, I would have canceled.
Sure, sure. But you're featuring on the theater, you're headlining at this other show, people are going to come see you.
Yeah. Yeah, and like,
it doesn't make sense.
Very dumb. But you love the guy. You still fucking work for him, even though he hurt me deeply. So,
well, money talks.
I'm sure you're paying so. I'm sure he's paying so much. I fucking know what those shows pay. I'm sure you're becoming rich off of the show.
I will say it paid for my flight up here at least. So,
I didn't know they had $75 flights.
flights out of Vegas are very cheap anywhere.
Yeah, that's it's definitely, it's not 75, but it's not that far off of 75.
No, that's true. That's true.
Okay, so then we were supposed to do a show yesterday. I got a message from the other comic that was supposed to be on the show, and she was like, do you know what happened with that? And I was like, I wanted to fuck with her, but I'm like, not, really on, like, what I've noticed is my sense of humor can be darker than other people, oftentimes comics even. And I wanted to be like, you didn't hear that Todd passed away? And I didn't do that, but I think that would have been very funny.
That would have been great.
But it's like, it got canceled for the reasons that any show gets canceled.
Well, that's...
It's like people go, hold on, sorry. People go, there's a business will close. And they're like, what happened? And it's like, they quit making money.
It was extremely successful.
Yeah.
And then one day they were like, fuck this.
Yeah, Louis has that joke that's like, they're like, what happened? And you're like, oh no, we had this like amazing marriage. We loved each other so much. And we got divorced and neither of us wanted it, but we got divorced. It's probably a fucking bastardization of, I'm going to drink some of this. We're tracking our progress as a podcast by how much of this.
Okay.
Do you like tequila?
No.
Oh, what a fucking tequila, loser.
I know. No, but I will say the thing that bugged me about the show getting canceled for yesterday.
Yeah.
Was they canceled it a week ahead of time. And I don't know. I only have one club that I do fairly, I've done multiple times, where they let me track the tickets.
Gotcha.
And when I have seen that, it's tickets don't move until the last week before the show. And then especially the last time I did that one, it's in Arizona. Stir crazy. I don't know why I'm keeping it quiet.
Yeah.
It was like literally 48 hours before the show is when we started like really selling tickets and then practically sold out the club.
Right.
So for them to cancel it a week ahead of time because they didn't have as many tickets sold as they wanted to, again, I don't know their business, so I can't sit here and say they were wrong to do it, but it doesn't give me much to go off of because I don't know, like, why are you doing that when there's still a week? Because in my experience, the week is when most tickets sell. So I didn't understand it.
Do you have a similar, because I think in ways, I think we probably aren't that far off in like how angry we actually get, but your reaction sometimes is worse than mine. Like we've just talked about my worst reaction to getting mad about comedy stuff.
Yeah.
And it was not good. I'm not proud of it. I do think I fucked up, by the way. Especially dude, if you're out there listening. Like, I'm never going to probably work for you again on both of our choice. Like, I don't think he would work with me either. Yeah.
I did respond because when they emailed me and we got all that worked out, they said, you know, we have this wildly successful Wednesday night show, which it's never listed on their website that I've seen. I don't know anything about it. The one last night was listed. But they said it's wildly successful. And so, like, one morning, just a couple days ago, I woke up and I was still groggy and I just decided to write a response.
Perfect time.
Yeah. And I said, so do you have a spot for me on this wildly successful show?
Well, that was
show?
Kind of a thing that I was surprised by is that I wasn't on the
wildly successful show. Yeah. And then they were like, yeah, come on down. And I was like, fuck. So then I go, well, how much are you paying? And then they told me, and then I was like, no, thanks. So I felt like I got my little, like, nah, that's not Enum Club money.
Yeah. We'll talk about it off the,
okay.
off the podcast. We've got a lot of exciting stuff to talk about off the podcast.
Do you have a Patreon? Because we should just do...
Technically, I have a Substack, but I don't want to do that.
I know.
especially, like, the Substack's not very well... It's just going to be petty. If there were more people listening that gave a fuck, I would like to do that and just ruin everyone.
Sure.
Also, if I didn't have to worry about having to work with these people in the future, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yes, it's those folks can be frustrating also. And I think like they're, you know, also the other thing is I don't think that, almost said the name. I don't think that the guy, the Enum Claw guy, I don't think he's doing anything. So it felt very personal because we're in this state where there was like, we hadn't been able to do state, not like state in this country, but like state of comedy where I just hadn't been able to do that much comedy. So it felt like every time a show got canceled or whatever, it was devastating.
It was devastating. Yeah, for sure.
And so when that happened, I was like, this is like one of four shows I have this month. And then, by the way, me having four shows that month put me in like the fucking top five comics in Washington State at the time.
Which shows you how terrible things were.
It was very bad. And so I fucking freaked out. And again, I fucked up. I also don't think he had anything against me. I think he thought he was making a smart business decision, and I think he was stupid for thinking that.
Yeah, well, he definitely, because he talked to me after it, because he knew that we were best friends at the time. And he mentioned something to me about it, and he's like, you know, I don't understand. He's like, this is just the way, this is just business. And I responded. I was like, I agree with you, man, 100%.
You were like, fuck Casey.
Fuck Casey McLean.
I'm not going to talk to him for years. I'm a star, actually, so I'll come do your show in Orting, Washington. Yeah, I mean, again, like I still think it was shitty, but I also am like, you better finish that so you can drink this. And then you can't drink after that, Todd. You have a show. What are you doing? This is how I sabotage him quietly, as I just get you. Are you closing out the show?
I don't know. It's me and Narin, so.
Oh, you shouldn't be then.
I agree.
It's just you and Narin on the show? Mm. Maybe you're co-headlining.
He's hosting, so.
The Enum Claw fella?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. I wonder what you are doing. This is a Weller 12-year? No, Weller Antique 107. Kentucky Straight Bourbon. Also good stuff. I didn't know you...
To Enum Claw.
Enum Claw. This is what, by the way, to Enum Claw, where they think that they are country enough to have invented bourbon. They actually do have a distillery out there that I hit up about doing a show a while back.
The last time I did Orting, it was me and Barunji were there.
Fun?
Yeah. And
that's who I did Chalet Theater. He was the feature on the...
Well, that's the way that it was booked. I was closing. Barunji was featuring. And I don't know if the host just told him he could, you know, like we were both going to do 45 minutes. Or if Barunji was just like, why the fuck is Todd closing?
He's right for that.
I agree. No, I totally agree with it. But he went 45 minutes and killed for 45 minutes. And then I was like, even if I did 45 minutes and it was just banger material, even if it was Louis C.K. coming in doing 45 minutes.
Sure.
It's still...
This is a good cope. It's a good way to cope with what you're about to say.
It's still going to be 90 minutes. So I just went out, I just did crowd work for 45 minutes. And it was fun, and it was different, and everyone liked it. But it'll be interesting to see what they do with me and Narin. Is what I'm getting at.
Hope Narin does 75 minutes, and you have to go out and do 14 minutes of crowd work. That's gonna be awesome. Yeah, I mean that sucks. It sucks. When you headline, you start to notice how shitty it is when people go long.
Yeah.
Because I didn't used to care that much, and now it's like it's fucking horrible.
Yeah. It's pretty bad. It's yeah.
Yeah.
It can get.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Or you also care about hosts. I had a really good friend of mine.
That's really good.
I had a really good friend of mine who did, who's done guest spots and is really funny. And I asked them to host a show recently. And apparently they had no idea how to host.
Gotcha.
To the point where they went up. And when they brought up the feature comic, they said his name, like almost like an introduction, but then went into a little story about
it. Yeah, that's a classic mistake.
So he started like coming out and then he was back and then didn't say his name again. Just like was like, why isn't this fucking guy out here?
Yeah.
And then after I got done and I said goodnight, I stood out there on stage waiting for a second. They had no idea that they were supposed to come back out and close the show out. And so it was a bad situation.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough when, and I think hosting's important. And you're like, I don't know if you're still doing this, but at a time, I love the like host lining format, the like do 10 minutes at the beginning and 30 to 40 at the end.
Yeah.
Because you know the show, you get to control how the show gets hosted. And if you do, by the way, I call it shotgun hosting, you call it round robin. I've done some polling. Everyone agrees with you. Nobody knows shotgun hosting.
See?
So you're the fucking you're the most knowledgeable comedian I've ever met, Todd.
It's understandable.
Not
most
funniest,
talented,
but
sure.
knowledgeable.
I get that a lot.
You've got the dictionary of comedy memorized better than anyone else.
A lot of circulation of air in the studio. That's
it's a problem. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have an air conditioner back there, but it's too. By the way, if you watch the Poor Sports podcast, it's a common point of discussion.
I watch it every.
I know you don't, and it's fine if you don't. I'm saying people, if they watch, maybe I could just put a fan in here and it would help.
That'd be nice.
I think you turn on the lights, you get the real, you know, you're in you're in this, like, it's a fucking arena, you know? We're in a just a true fucking gauntlet of a podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
It's nerve-wracking. I understand why you're sweating.
I mean, I've never, the stakes have never been higher for
yeah.
me.
It's like the aggro crag. You're climbing up the aggro. Is that reference? You're probably actually too old for that reference. Do you know the aggro crag?
Of course.
It's from. It's from, what was it, Nickelodeon Guts, I think? Or I think it was Nickelodeon Guts. It's like Double Dare spinoff. Might have been from.
I remember Double Dare.
Yeah, it came after it, and it was like a big fucking dumb obstacle mountain they had to climb.
I think I remember something about that. Too old for this reference.
I do have these moments where I'm like, my wife teaches eighth grade, and I was thinking about this. My daughter's she's 3.5. I said this on the Poor Sports podcast, but this will hit with you harder because you're older than the co-host. You're 53. It's only 53.
I mean, I understand. At 53, look, I feel like I'm doing pretty well for 53.
I mean, I don't think anyone would agree, but the channel numbers. When you're like, oh, that's on channel 3. My daughter has no idea what that means.
We'll never know what that means.
There's no reason.
What do you mean channel 3? What are you talking about?
Yeah. Even the like over-the-air antenna stuff is on. It's like digital now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like we have YouTube TV. We go to Fox News every night. We don't stop watching Fox News.
That does not surprise me. No,
we go to like, you know, we go to like Fox for football. We go to CBS. Jesus Christ.
Wow.
I almost knocked over. I almost knocked the mic into my teeth and the fucking whiskey off the table.
Your wife comes home and is like, was it really? That was an overreaction not being able to go. You're bleeding from the mouth again. I still have the video of you, like, after your dental work. You sent me, like...
That was, by the way, that was, I did take the brunt of it. We had an ongoing beef that I thought, here's the problem I have. I think it's very funny to play the heel, but then people start to get personal and shitty, and then it's like, then you're like, okay, get the joke, asshole. Like,
right, right.
Like, so you and I had a fake TikTok beef.
Yeah.
Where I was like, man, I could really gain some followers by going against a popular guy
on a app that's well known to not understand satire in the slightest.
Yeah, and so people were like mad at me. There was a lady that followed us both, Karen from somewhere or something like.
Oh yeah, Ohio, something like that.
And she fucking unfollowed me like angrily, and I was like, okay, lady, like you don't even get it. It's weird to me. So anyways, we had this big, long beef, and then I was like, got my wisdom teeth removed, and my mouth is just full of blood, and I'm on, I'd come off of anesthesia,
yeah,
and we're driving home, and I was like, wouldn't it be funny if I just start yelling at Todd in this state? My wife's like, I mean, try it, and I start yelling. I thought it was very funny. It's alarming to see my mouth full
sure,
of blood.
You're...
But people were like, what did he do to you? Like, people thought that you had seriously beaten me to the point that my mouth was full of blood.
Because people are fully ready to have physical confrontations over TikTok.
Well, they think other people are fully ready to
right.
have physical.
Yeah, that's true.
Most people are pussies who will never do anything, myself included, right? Like, there's nothing on TikTok worth fighting over, in my opinion.
No.
Sorry, I keep looking up because this camera and this camera have both shut off at points, so I'm just making sure they're still on.
Oh, I just keep playing to the camera.
Yeah.
Norman Fell style.
Got to make enough noise that it switches to me. Here we are. No, you got to. It's in your mic.
Oh,
I don't see my guy.
I was like to the camera.
Man.
Did you get the Norman Fell reference?
No, I'm fucking way too
That's
young.
The second
I'm young and hot, dude.
I did on Kill Tony. I did a reference to.
You think Kill Tony? That's like who is this guy? Was he with Bing Crosby?
No, he was on Three's Company.
Jesus Christ. I know Three's Company from, like, what's that that channel called? Like, what was that? What's that that channel that was, like, it's, like, what Nick at Night became? TV Land.
TV Land, yeah.
Yeah, I know it from TV Land.
I can remember watching Three's Company finale.
Jesus.
Followed by the premiere episode of the Three's Company spinoff, Three's a Crowd.
Wow.
That's how old I am.
Wow, I didn't even know about the spinoff.
Yeah, well, it wasn't around long.
But. I remember when Seinfeld ended, I remember the finale happening, but I didn't watch it.
Oh, really?
Well, because, I mean, I was like probably, what was it, 98?
I think, 98?
I was 12. And it wasn't like I had seen episodes of Seinfeld to that point, but it wasn't like a huge event. But now I've watched every episode multiple times. I have a Serenity now. Yeah, I was like aware of it and I watched it, but it was like, it's ending, but I've only seen like, plus I was like, I used to play sports. And so at night I would be like out doing that. And so it was like not a big deal to me. It was on in syndication already. I think.
Right, right. You were 12 in 1998. I know, I've always known that you're younger than me, but it just hit me hard because I was 20 in 98. So it just hit me. It's like a lot of times when my wife, like I'll say something about 1990 and my wife is like, wow, I was six then. And I'm like, I was a teenager. What kind of right. pedophile am I then?
Well, we can isolate that. What kind of pedophile am I?
That's like a TikTok filter. What kind of pedophile am I?
Yeah, we're not getting that one through on some. We're not going viral on that. Not on this. Not on this website, anyway. I think.
But I made the reference on Kill Tony. I made a reference to John Panette, and no one understood it except for, of course, Tony.
Who is John Panette? What did he? What is that? No, I know who John Panette is. Oh, sorry. Okay. Who is he in Three's Company? Does he relate to
No, me? He has nothing to do with Three's Company.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying that I made the Norman Fell reference.
I know
here
who John Panette is.
Yeah.
Yeah. You did Kill Tony recently, right?
Yeah, in Austin.
At the old, because they're doing it now at the new.
They're just, I think this Monday is going to be the first one at the Mothership.
What a way to have like an inn at that place.
Dude, I'm already planning my next trip to Austin just to do that. Adam Luckey's working there.
I know.
I was in Austin when he got hired there.
That's cool. He did this podcast.
Before me. Cool.
You've been on it many times.
Oh, is this the podcast I was on?
Yeah.
Oh, is this Everybody Hates Casey McClane?
Nobody likes Casey McClane.
I like Everybody Hates Casey McClane.
I know, you like to one-up it.
I know comics around here, and everybody hates Casey McClane.
Well, at least one we've talked about.
In Enumclaw.
Yeah.
Enumclaw hates Casey McClane.
Enumclaw does love me.
It's just a picture of you getting fucked by a horse.
Well, that's why it's so upsetting, too, is like that, like red... It's the fucking classic, the best comedy places are red areas in a blue area.
Right.
Like red pockets in a blue area, blue pockets in a red area. And that's a red pocket in King County that's like very, very blue. And they fucking like me. Like I do fucking well there because, yeah, I mean, it's fucking so annoying. It still annoys me. Like
you look safer in their eyes than like a Robert Moore.
Oh yeah, we should just start bringing up local comics that fucking we've done enough of that. Like Shad Foster, wow, everybody fucking cares about Shad Foster. Come on now, there's like seven Shad Fosters I've met since I met Shad Foster.
Okay, fine. People like you.
By the way, Shad, I did his show at what's it, Rainier Growlers. You should have tried to.
I did that one.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, not me? This trip, but yeah, before, that was the one that was before I moved to Vegas.
Oh, nice.
That's a good room.
Yeah. That's actually there. Well, we can talk about that off the podcast. Got a lot to talk about off the podcast. Did you ever start? You never started a podcast, really. You did like a daily thing. I remember you did the ambitious thing of going like, I'm going to do daily vlogs on YouTube, and it lasted like 4 days. And you're well, I fucking missed yesterday. So there's a comic, and I don't feel bad because I like him and I think he likes me, but maybe he doesn't. But Travis Nelson is another local comic, and every year on YouTube he does this thing. It's he does like Try Hard 2021. So he started it in, I think, 2020. Try Hard 2020. And for like the first approximately, let's say, 67 days, he posted on YouTube. And then something happened in 2020 that ruined his Try Hard 2020. But it makes me laugh because it's like the lowest effort content. It's like him just like walking around his neighborhood talking about something. And it's very funny to me, the juxtaposition of something being called Try Hard
right.
Day. It'll be like Try Hard 2020 Day 73. And it's like, fucking ordering a burger. it's such low effort content. Travis is very funny and he's booked me on stuff. And I'm sorry if this makes you mad, Travis. I wasn't trying to, but it's just the juxtaposition is very funny to me.
Do you know Julio Gonzalez?
The Mariners center fielder? No, it's Julio Rodriguez. I don't know who Julio Gonzalez is.
He's a comic.
And, what city?
He's in Vegas.
Oh, yeah. I would know him, of course. A
lot of people up in the Northwest know him because he used to come up here all the time. And I actually met him in Spokane. And we both moved to Vegas around the same time. But when he moved to Vegas, he'd already been working at the LA Comedy Club at the Strat. And the week that I moved there, he got a residency. So he does the 6 o'clock.
I thought you were going to say he got arrested. And that was going to be a much sadder story. Oh, my God.
He got arrested. He lost his children. And I've been doing well. No, he he has the 6 o'clock every night at the Strat. And he and I have talked about doing a podcast, but we want to do it like neither one of us could set up something like this ourselves. So we want to like find a place that we can rent or whatever, like get a space.
Yeah, that's
there's a lot of that.
I wish that's another thing I could do in Vegas is just have this there and rent it to people.
Absolutely.
But my wife will never let me move to Vegas because she wants to be with me for some reason.
I don't get that.
And I know it's a mystery to everybody.
Did she have some sort of trauma at one point?
Obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously. I don't know what it is yet, but one day when it gets uncovered and resolved, I'm
I
fucked.
Think we all know what her trauma is. I think that it's pretty obvious. It's the guy who was just waiting here, checking his text constantly to see if he could neglect his child for alcohol. That might be the trauma.
Yeah, maybe. But there had to be something that made her be attracted to me also.
Yeah.
It can't just be that one drama.
Was it during the pandemic? No, you guys were together before the pandemic. I don't know.
No, I've been with her for fucking like almost 13 years.
What would be great is if we found out that
how long have you been with your wife? Longer. Like a lot, right?
Yeah, yeah. We're going to have our 16th anniversary next month.
16th wedding.
Wedding, yeah.
How many years?
3 years before that.
God damn. Did you ever think, because I love that. One, I love that because it's, and I don't consider you a comedian, but it really is sure. important to me when I meet comedians who've been in long-term relationships.
Yeah.
But I want to make it the most clear. I do not consider
at
you.
At all. I barely do.
When I meet influencers, it's less impressive. But no, I love working with and meeting comics who are in committed marriages, relationships, etc. Because, like, I love going on the road with Gabe Rutledge because I don't think you and I never did anything where it wasn't. We just did that one. No, we were in Arizona, but you were with you. We didn't like.
We weren't traveling together.
Correct, and yeah. You. So we were in Phoenix. I stayed in an Airbnb with Josh Firestein. By the way, what a fucking, like a very dad drunk night we had the night of.
Yeah.
So the night of the show at Improv Mania, we got back and I had bought like a 12 pack of White Claw. I was just starting to drink White Claw. That's what I'm saying. It's like, it's not a fucking cool, there's not a cool story. We went to the bar next door. First co-ed bathroom I've ever been in?
Yeah, that's the first one I've ever seen is co-ed, surprisingly, was in Texas, in Austin.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So you're like, I don't think I took a shit, but I'm like, oh, I would be like taking a shit, and then I come out, and it's like this is fucked up. There's a new club in Seattle called the Hereafter, and they have...
is it a comedy club?
Yeah. We'll talk about why you shouldn't try to book it.
Later. I'm not going
to... but I went into the bathroom, and a woman that I knew had just come out of the stall. It's co-ed bathroom. And you watch the old people when they come to this thing, and they're like, what the fuck is this? Like, they're
right.
saying that... I went into a stall after a woman who I knew, and there was, like, a shit streak in the bowl, and I was like, oh... Like, she had to be like... Fuck, this is the one person I didn't want to come in after me. And but it's weird. It was weird. It alarmed me. But anyways, we go to that place.
You'll tell me the name after the podcast?
Yeah, I'll tell you everything after the podcast. Okay. This might be called After the Podcast. The podcast before the After the Podcast
sure.
conversation. We went there. Josh had some friends because Josh spent some time in his childhood in Arizona. So a friend of his from childhood and her, I think now husband, maybe fiance at the time. Came and we drank like a lot, too much. That guy bought us drinks. I bought a round of drinks. That guy was really trying to show off, bought multiple rounds of drinks. His name's Eddie, if I recall.
I didn't get invited to any of this.
You did get invited. You were fucking, you didn't want to hang out with us.
What do you mean?
You had your friend there.
Yeah.
Lucas?
Lucas, yeah.
And you were like, nah, we're going to go back and, you know, whatever, go to sleep. We're too tired to come.
That's, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was
trying to hang out
with you the whole fucking weekend.
You're right.
Asshole.
No, that's true. That's
Jesus.
True. That's true. Yeah.
So we go to this thing, and then Josh had rented a Jeep for some reason. We leave the Jeep in the parking lot because we're way too drunk to drive. We Uber back, and we're drinking White Claws, talking about alcoholism, and I'm cooking bratwurst in the fucking kitchen. It's like the most dad drunk Airbnb experience I can imagine is I'm fucking pan frying bratwurst while we pound White Claws and talk about whether or not we should quit drinking. And that night I went to sleep and I was like, well, I'm either going to have to piss or wake up with a headache because I'm dehydrated. I can tell I'm going to be hungover, or I'll have to piss in the middle of the night. And I'm like, I'm too tired to wake up to piss.
Yeah.
And then I woke up with the worst headache. And Josh, a hero, took an Uber to go back and get his Jeep, bought me a bottle of ibuprofen, revived my life. And anyway.
Now, that same night, my friend and I went and we found a Mexican restaurant that was open late enough for us to get like a full meal, which was delicious. And then we went back to the hotel room, went to bed. I woke up at like 4 o'clock in the morning with the worst heartburn I've ever had in my life.
Oh, wow.
He offered to go get some omeprazole because I was still like out of it.
That's a horse tranquilizer.
Yeah. And then right before he left the room, he ripped the biggest, nastiest, juiciest sounding fart I've ever experienced in my life. In the doorway, left. I'm there, literally still feeling sick, unable, like I couldn't make it to the bathroom. I'm sitting there gagging in my mouth because I'm just, it's like the echo of the sound is still going. I went over to try to open the window. The windows don't open. I'm looking for air. I'm like getting gassed out of my own hotel room because of this fucking idiot.
Because he farted.
Because it was, dude, it was not a fart. It was like.
Like a life, a soul left his body, yeah, and that soul stinks.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys were trying to avoid us the whole time.
And he kept showing up.
I liked Lucas. He tended our cameras in the back of Improv Mania, which was nice.
Which, by the way, is now Mic Drop Mania.
Yeah, that's good. Another place that won't book me.
Have you tried to get booked at Mic Drop?
I did. I was going to open for Andrew Slater at the one in San Diego in the small room, and they waited so long to approve it that the price of flights like tripled.
Oh, fuck.
So it was like, well, I could, instead of losing $200 on the trip, I'm now going to lose $800 on the trip or whatever. It's like, I can't. Yeah. And then I ended up getting booked on something else that weekend anyway. So
that small room is super nice. I felt really bad because I did the small room and we sold out like a week ahead of time because it's a small room. But so they were like, you'll just come back in a few months.
Well, it's like 50, right?
Yeah. You'd have to throw.
Well, you
out
said
the
it was
number.
Small, but I'm because I'm gonna make a joke later. I'm setting up my joke for later. Good.
So then they were like, "Why don't you come back and we'll do the big room, you know, in a few months?"
Yeah.
And so then they booked me for the big room, and then that didn't even like I wouldn't have been able to fill out the small room.
I was gonna say they found out that your audience in San Diego is like 53.
50. So yeah, I felt bad, but I do love that club, and I think I'm gonna get some work just on regular shows there. So.
Just fucking bring me, dude.
Well, they,
he's never bringing me.
He's never gonna
bring me.
I was gonna bring you up for a bunch of shows, but then you were like, "Well, now I can't go on the road anymore."
Yeah, you.
That's what you said.
No, I'm still going on the road. No, you go. This show fell through. Is it really worth it for you to do that? You're like really talking me out of it. You're like, well, I mean, you know, it's like you're barely gonna make any money, and you're gonna hate it, and you're gonna fucking. I don't even like you, so.
Oh, the Arizona. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
There's like an Arizona run at a place.
I want to start like booking shows that I can just drive to from Vegas, which you know, Salt Lake, Idaho, stuff like that.
Is Idaho that? I guess Idaho's just at the north end of.
Idaho's not far at all. That's like, I mean, I figure anything within like a 10-hour drive.
Yeah,
is,
that's a fair.
Yeah, and that covers Southern California, Northern California, all of Nevada, Idaho, Utah, Arizona.
Texas, probably?
Maybe like the very...
Mm. You get like to the corner of Texas?
Yeah.
A city that no one lives in?
Yeah, I want to go down to Texas again. Like, it behooves me to go to Texas now, especially because I can do Kill Tony, but then also... Yeah.
It's probably a cheap flight. That's the problem with Greg Beachler and I went to Austin for like 4 days. And the combined cost was like $1,600.
Yeah,
it's tough because then you like go and you just don't make any money in Austin. Especially, I mean, I don't know if Kill Tony pays you. I don't know if it does or not. I'm not telling you. Don't have to tell us. Maybe it pays you thousands of dollars every time.
Well, I'm on $150,000 appearance
per show. Yeah,
per show. Yeah,
you should negotiate higher. I think.
You think so?
Yeah, probably. When I went there, I got paid like $60 for the all the shows I did.
Yeah.
And it's like, I get it, but it's, I mean, it's just, I know that the club is making money. I know that the, I don't know who, like, if the producers are getting fucked also. I hope they are, because I hope they are for the sake of, like, I don't want to be fucked over by the producers.
Right.
I expect venues to be shitty. As I said earlier, I expect venues to be shitty. I don't expect comics to be shitty to comics.
Right, right.
I trust the comic that did the most of the booking that I got in. I did do a show that I would say seemed like it was going to pay, and I've heard other people say it paid, and then I didn't get paid for it from a guy, not Adam Lucky, who's the guy that booked me on the other stuff, who's the guy that I trust.
Right.
But the other guy was like, this feels like I was supposed to get paid for the show, and you just were like, well, we didn't say anything about it, so.
Yeah, that's shitty.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, whatever. It's I originally went down there. I was supposed to host for it would have been like one of the first weekends of the new Cap City being open. Host for Jordan Jensen in the small room in there, the Helium, or Helium owns it, but Cap City, the new Cap City Club.
Yeah,
and construction was behind. Luckily, by the way, Adam Lucky told me in advance, so I like planned. I like was like, oh fuck, and I messaged the booker of that, and he's like, yeah, sorry, I forgot to tell you. And then I got to go, like, try to get other shows, but...
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Usually when I go on the road somewhere, I'm trying to get... I'm trying to do, like, my own shows just to, for the cost. But I think with Austin, I want to make that just a regular stop that I go. Because I know I have enough connections down there that I can do just regular shows. Yeah. And try to, if nothing else, try to break even. Because that's just, again... The amount of people that showed up at the next couple of shows that were like, hey, we just saw you on Kill Tony.
Right.
It's totally worth it.
I think it's good, and I think if you can go down there, I mean, people do that in LA too. They'll go to LA for
yeah.
And I think for you, like Austin is as good as LA, probably better than LA.
Yeah.
So, and I am your trusted advisor. Listen, you don't talk to me anymore, but I am your trusted advisor. You do everything I say.
I just thought of something else that you advised me to do. I took your advice.
I'm such a fucking contributor to your life.
Because I used to have a joke that I did at on every set about. Where the punchline was a specific famous comic.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And you said, you were just like, I just don't think it's cool to like make jokes about other comics.
Yeah. I'm very sensitive, obviously, about comics treating other comics badly.
Yeah. And it wasn't like, it certainly wasn't a punching down situation. It's not like I was making fun.
We're not going to say the person's sex. They do not identify, their pronouns are not they, them. But we'll say they so that she... Doesn't have to. It was a famous comic, not anyone right. that we know, but yes.
Yeah, exactly. And so, so I had that joke about Amy Schumer, and then you.
That is the person.
That is the person. Yeah. But then you were like, well, you know, and then this one I won't mention just because I did work with.
Why wouldn't you mention that? I think that person worked.
I guess they did.
That told you not to do it?
Well, they didn't tell me not to do it.
Oh,
but
okay.
When I was on stage, they took issue with the joke and was like, she's not even that, because it was a fat joke about Amy Schumer. And, like, really, ultimately, it was about me, but, anyway, the point is, he was like, he said to the other comic on the show, he's like, why would he say, like, she's not even that fat or anything like that. But right. He was, like, personal friends with her.
Yeah.
And he and I got along that whole time. But,
why would you not say his name?
I don't know. Well, Sam Morril.
Yeah, he was like defending a woman in the show. You're the shithead in this story.
You're right.
We should omit you from this story, maybe. Because
anyway, there's this fat comic around here who made a joke about Amy Schumer. Classless.
Yeah.
Heartless joke.
Well, it was vindicating that a comic who is like obviously more accomplished. And I mean, the fact that he's friends with her, notwithstanding, like I think that it's make it fucking... a person who's not a comic.
Right, right.
Or make it, you know, whatever. Like, it doesn't have to be a woman, even. Like,
it really was, like, the joke itself, and it did hit the way that I wanted it to, but in hindsight especially, I was like, yeah, that's not a cool...
Yeah, well, I think maybe I told you, like, I might have even said you might work with someone who knows her, and then you did.
And then I did,
and
yeah.
And it did, like, it, yeah. And it happened exactly the way that I said. Man, I am fucking... smart.
You're on fire. Yeah, I should.
My career should be much better, but if
my career should be much better, why am I not talking to you
disagree.
More often?
Yeah, I disagree at this point, but okay. Well, I think I got a buzz. You got a show. We've done an hour or 24 minutes longer than I expected, so I think it's a good time to. I expected to do 1 minute of podcast and then really just start making out, and we never did. So
I know. That's after the podcast.
If this table had stronger legs, we could fucking really do go to town. Or you could fucking throw me through it. We didn't even talk about pro wrestling.
We didn't. We need to do more podcasts together.
That's true. You start one.
If I had a camera on my computer.
God, I know. I know. And I fucking link you to the cheapest goddamn quality camera in the world, and you just go, I probably will try to use my wife's camera at some point. God, you do suck. You really should just do everything I say.
I should. Genuinely, if I get a podcast set up and I get shows set up in Vegas, I'm bringing you down.
He's not fucking doing it. He's not doing it, folks. Don't count on it. You live in Vegas and you think you're going to see me down there. It's not going to be from Todd Royce. I'll tell you that much.
At Todd Royce XXL. Because that's where I'll announce when I have the podcast. That's what I'm saying.
Not that I will be on it.
To Norman Fell.
To Norman Fell. We love that guy.
We do.
All right.